Would you have known I was anorexic if you saw me in the street?
I don't know how to judge that. Am I supposed to say yes or no? I don't know.
I want you to say yes. If you say I didn't, then I would just stop eating again till you say yes.
Well, so that's why I'm not going to answer that.
I
don't want
to
play that game.
Yeah, it's a game.
Just by having this, you know, fleeting encounter that I've sort of been sucked into this psychodrama. Things that would be ordinary conversations suddenly are charged. You know, I might say something that could make your illness worse.
You could say something that could stop me eating for a week. You could say something that will stop me going out for a week and not realise you said it, but that's not your fault. I'm the one with the problem, not you.
Louis Theroux walking down a hospital corridor.
I'd been spending time among people afflicted by a most mysterious and sometimes fatal mental disorder.
A young woman colouring in.
Anorexia, a pathological fear of eating and gaining weight.
I can't see a future.
Why?
Because I don't think I'll be alive long.
I was hoping to get some insight into its causes, how it affects patients and families. And with a bit of luck, some understanding of a way out.
The only way is up now. And you're in the right place.
Yeah.
BBC, Louis Theroux, talking to anorexia. Hospital wards housed in a two-storey brick building.
At St Anne's Hospital in North London, I was on Phoenix Wing, an inpatient ward for people with eating disorders.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
A dentist assistant, Rosie had admitted herself for treatment 3 months earlier.
What's it like being here?
Prison.
Prison, someone said. What's it?
Yeah, pretty much. Said
who said
prison.
That?
Kathy. Yeah.
Did you mean that?
Yes, she did. She did. Yeah, like, it's definitely military, like, very time-consuming.
Yes.
It's
that's
like
a routine.
Yeah.
It's a strict schedule. That's your schedule, is it?
Yeah.
It starts around 8:30. We had breakfast, and then we had snack. It's 10 till 10:25.
And then from 8:30 to 9:30, we have supervision period, which is taken in the lounge. Toilets are locked as well.
After meal times?
During meal times and after for that 30-minute period. Some of us are on one-to-ones, which that means in after supervision, when you do go to the toilet, a member of staff will come in that toilet with you. So
because they've got to make sure you're actually not just eating the meals, but keeping them down.
Yeah.
And so with you, it was more a case of sort of not eating the food in the first place?
Yeah, I got a throw out of not eating, just starving myself, Just skipping meals just because I didn't think it was necessary.
Really?
Mm.
Did you say you got a thrill out of it?
Mm.
Would you call it a thrill?
Now looking back on it, no, but at the time, yeah.
Photos of a healthy-looking Rosie before the illness struck.
I suppose I'm curious to know how long you've been ill. That's one question I have.
I would say the illness started in October of last year.
Mm-hmm.
It got to Christmas and I still was in denial how much I was losing, but everyone around me was like, you're losing a lot now, we can see it. And then February, it just went crashing down. I lost all physical movement. I couldn't walk. I was crawling up the stairs. I was having to get my dad to carry me up the stairs. I lost eyesight. I lost my hearing.
In late February, we're talking.
Yeah.
Due to malnutrition, basically, you can lose your eyesight and your hearing because of diet, lack of food.
Yeah. If I didn't come in that day, I could have died. I was nearly at cardiac arrest.
And you've been living here ever since?
Yeah.
As an inpatient, but going home at weekends?
Yeah, I do overnights and weekends at home. When I get weighed on the Monday and Thursday, I feel happy that I'm putting on, but it does scare me. Like, I don't want to, if I'm being honest, I don't want to come out of here and then get to the point where I'm overweight. And obviously I've got a target to aim towards. So I'd never want to go over that because then I'll freak out.
Louis looks into a room he passes.
Hello.
Every fortnight, doctors and therapists meet to discuss their patients' progress and monitor their weight. I was meeting Rosie's team.
That's a graph of Rosie's weight, is it, basically? And it's dropping precipitously until a certain point. And what does that point represent?
I think the lowest weight on that weight chart is where we, at the point of admission.
So she was dropping weight at quite a rate when she was an outpatient. Yeah. So you could see that there was a need for a change of approach.
Mm.
What is the line that's going off at a steeper angle, steeper gradient?
So the bottom line is the half a kilo weight gain a week. So generally, if people are falling within the two lines, then the rate of weight gain is kind of what we would expect.
Right. So when, then that's interesting, isn't it? Because she's hugging that lower benchmark amazingly closely, almost as though she's sort of deliberately doing the minimum acceptable weight gain.
Mm. Even yesterday after the session, she said to me, sometimes I still don't believe that I've got this illness.
Inpatient units like Phoenix Wing cater to the most serious cases of anorexia.
What's your name?
Ifzana.
Louis.
Nice to meet you.
The condition has been on the increase in the UK, amongst women and men, whether because of fashion images, social media, or other more complex reasons.
Have you done inpatient recovery of this sort before?
Oh, yes. I'm a veteran.
Okay.
Treatment revolves around a timetable of three meals and three snacks every day, all strictly supervised.
I don't particularly want to eat this cake and ice cream, but I know that I have to. It's part of my treatment.
Patients also receive therapy and classes in shopping for and preparing food to help them build a healthier relationship with eating.
Are you aware that you need some fats in your diet?
The aim is for patients to regain their weight and return to living in the outside world.
A London cityscape.
At a clinic in West London called Vincent Square, I was meeting a daytime patient called Jess.
How's it going?
Hiya.
We met very briefly before, didn't we? Louis.
Jess.
Am I all right here?
Yeah, of course.
Jess had been in treatment for 9 years. Joining us was her nurse, James Kelly.
So how long have you been here?
I've been here just over a year. Yeah, last week I had my anniversary.
And how old are you?
I'm 27.
27?
28 next week.
And when did you first get diagnosed?
I was 19.
Okay.
Holiday photos of Jess in summer clothes.
For Jess, is it the last 6 birthdays you've spent in hospital?
Yeah, the last 5.
Last 5?
Yeah.
And this kind of pattern of kind of going round again has been your life for the last 5-6 years.
What's your sense of how Jess is doing?
Things are slipping and deteriorating and kind of physically Jess is struggling.
And how do you define that?
Less food and more walking.
You've been doing more walking?
Yeah, I do. Quite a lot of walking and other exercise as well. I really struggle with exercise.
It's so amazing. I mean, I'm still quite new to this. The idea of struggling with exercise to me still means that you need to do more. But you actually mean that you need to do less?
Yeah, I mean, I do star jumps as well, which is a bit of an issue. I've been doing them for years and years and never been able to break the habit.
How many star jumps do you do here?
Well, at the moment, I do, like, 2,000 a day. I feel really ashamed.
That's made you feel ashamed talking about that.
Yeah, and I don't know.
It doesn't...
It's quite hard to admit it and to let people know about it. It feels like a bit of a shameful secret that I have to hide.
But then in your case, it seems to me they are a symptom of your illness. Again, to which no shame should be attached. That's an illness.
Clouds drifting across a blue sky, then Louis and Jess walking together along a street.
Jess came from a family of successful lawyers. She dreamed of becoming a teacher. Although she had graduated from university, she'd never had a full-time job due to her illness.
That's my sister's graduation when I was nearly a healthy weight.
Which one are you?
This one.
Wow.
A photo on her phone showing Jess with lustrous long blonde hair.
Is that you?
Yeah.
That's same cool. Time?
No, that was when I was about 17.
Can I keep going?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not going to find anything weird.
No, it's not going to be weird.
That's a joke.
A lot of people kind of say things to me like, you used to be so pretty or you would be so beautiful if you gained some weight. And that just is missing the point entirely because I'm under no illusion that I'm attractive as I am now or that I would be any more attractive if I lost weight. But I still want to lose weight. It's not about being attractive.
A photo of a younger Jess, then her gaunt features today.
What do you think the misconceptions are?
I guess that it's perhaps a self, well, an attention-seeking thing, and that it's all because the media portray this image that the ideal size is a size zero and all that stuff, and it's not about that at all. Like, people just don't get it.
If you accept it's not about size zero, although probably those images aren't helpful.
Yeah.
And do you have any sense of where it does come from?
I think it's a mixture of things. Like, it's partly a self-punishment thing, thinking that I don't deserve to eat, I don't deserve nice things, I don't deserve to enjoy myself, and I restrict food and exercise as a punishment to myself. But then, conversely, it's also a control thing and an anxiety thing that at times it actually makes me feel better.
I guess what I'm curious about is what sort of emotions or what feelings you would get from eating, for example.
I feel so guilty and disgusting. I just want to, like, physically tear the skin off me and the fat off me. And it's just awful. In my head, I shouldn't like food. It's disgusting and greedy and horrible to like food, and that makes me a fat, greedy pig. And I shouldn't let the world know that actually I do like the taste of some foods.
A modern building with glass canopied entrance.
As at Phoenix Ward, patients at Vincent Square spend most of their time eating meals and attending therapeutic groups. The average stay is around 4 months, but it's not uncommon for inpatients to stay a year or longer, and many return. The clinical director is Dr. Francis Connan.
Anorexia is a mental illness, that's correct, isn't it?
Yep. And one of the things we always say about anorexia as a sort of mark of its seriousness is that it has the highest mortality of any psychiatric disorder. I mean, that's staggering.
Do we know what causes it?
None of us can really say we know what the cause of anorexia nervosa is. There are biological factors as well as psychological factors that contribute. So it's things like personality type. People who have more obsessive-compulsive type personality traits, perfectionism, and those interact with life experience to come together to cause the expression of the illness.
So how do you help, how do you treat the people that you see here?
So one of the ways we can help you get better and stay well is to help build resilience in emotional coping and interpersonal coping so you don't have to rely on not eating as a way of coping with the world and as a response to stress.
A cluster of tower blocks, then a suburban shopping street.
People with anorexia tend to experience their first symptoms in their late teens and early 20s. Many go on to wrestle with the illness throughout their lives. I was meeting 63-year-old Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hi, Louis. How are you? Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Come in.
Show me the way.
Okay. Hi. Let you in. Mind the step.
Yeah, I will.
Here we go. Just down here. I've just had my breakfast.
Did you?
Yeah, which took like 2 seconds.
What did you have?
I had that much of bread and a tiny bit of cheese, but now I feel that I have to walk it off.
Why?
Because I can't bear the calories inside me.
Janet first experienced symptoms aged 18. She was diagnosed at 33 and has spent most of her life since as an outpatient at Vincent Square, while living at home and working at a job centre.
These are crackers.
Yeah.
I cannot eat a whole cracker. If I eat a whole cracker, the guilt is horrendous. I can't do it. So what I do, I shake it up, right? And then I just take a little bit. So that I would have for lunch. That's my lunch.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious. Would I joke about something like this? I have to go for a walk, an hour's walk after I've eaten this. Or for a change, I might have that. I don't want to get bored of the same thing. Yeah, or one of these. But that, I would have to break in half because I couldn't cope with eating the whole one.
You said you love the biscuit, but you don't enjoy eating it.
Because of the guilt.
But you love eating it?
There's two sides to me. There's one that's anorexic and one that isn't, one that is trying to get better, and one that is the anorexic, and one's saying he shouldn't be doing this, and the anorexic is saying, but this is all I've ever known, I'm your best friend.
Which side is bigger?
The anorexic.
How much bigger?
A lot bigger, 99%.
Are those chocolates?
Yeah. I'm allowed one a month. The first of every month, I get so excited because I'm allowed a little bit of ice cream and one chocolate. Do you want one?
Are you going to have one?
No. No, because it's not the 1st of July yet.
Where did that rule come from?
I don't know. But that's what I let myself have, one a month. And my sweets, and can't eat a whole one. If I have to put it then, and I'll suck it again a bit later. That'll last me a week.
Really?
That's 4 weeks' worth of sweets.
Hard sweets, really. Why have you got several on the go at once?
Because then psychologically I don't feel I'm eating too many. They call me nuts.
A homemade card reads, Auntie Janet, the coolest auntie in town.
Look at my hands.
What's happened to your nails?
Because I'm not eating, the circulation is not working now. That's how my body's packing
that's
up.
That's why they're red like that? Reddy purple?
Purple.
Louis feels them.
They're quite cold.
Mm. It's a nightmare. This is a nightmare. I've had it since I was 18. I'm 63.
But there's something stopping you from eating. What is it?
I feel if I eat, then I've lost control. And if I eat, when you're starving, it gets so bad that you feel pain. It numbs everything. It numbs you thinking. You can't think straight. If something happens, like when my mum died and my sister died, I didn't feel the pain because I was numb. I was so hungry.
You want to be well?
Mm, I do.
I'm getting very mixed messages.
It's not an easy one.
It's really confusing.
I don't feel I deserve.
Is that what it is?
Mm.
Unworthiness.
Mm. I'll eat off the floor. I'll eat out my bin. But if somebody buys me something, I'll throw it away. I don't feel I deserve nice clothes. When my sister died, I thought it should have been me. Mm.
It was striking that Janet, with 40 years of experience with the illness and insight into its workings, was still struggling.
St. Anne's Hospital.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, you lead the way.
Yeah.
Less than a year into her anorexia, Rosie was still coming to terms with the illness. It was the weekend. Rosie's dad, Paul, was picking her up for her home leave.
Paul? Louis.
Me, Louis.
How's it going?
Fine, thank you.
Nice to meet you.
And you.
The life-changing nature of anorexia means that it puts huge strains on families. I was curious to hear the perspective of her parents.
Hi, Heather. Louis.
Hi, Louis. All right?
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having us.
That's all right.
Looking through snaps of Rosie as a little girl.
Go on then.
No, oh God, no.
Glasses.
think I ever do wear glasses.
Well, that's a nice look, I think.
It is not.
You were going to show me that one up there.
That's my one of last year. I was going out on a night out. And, yeah, that's... Usually on a typical night out, what I'll do is...
take about 30 pictures.
What, and put them on Instagram? Or just choose the best one? So there was nothing in the background, no inkling that you might have this illness in your future?
Nothing at all. If I thought I would be here in a year before, I would have just laughed at you.
That you nearly died, in fact.
Yeah.
You were working?
I kind of wanted to.
You wanted to die? Why?
Because I gave up. I gave up. I couldn't do any more. I kept telling my mum and dad I wanted myself dead.
Rose's dad looks sad and thoughtful.
You all right?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, coping. Coping.
Must be difficult.
We just take day by day. Day by day now. We couldn't have coped no longer at home. Couldn't have done no longer.
Must have been shattering to go through.
It was... you couldn't sleep at night. Thinking all the time, you know. What do we do? What do we do? Where do we take her? Terrible, terrible times. It's like living hell.
Pegs on a washing line.
It all started when I feel like I got rejected by someone and I just felt like I had to change. But then now I think back, why did I? Why did I change?
You must have known something was up.
I did, but I was just hoping and praying, please stop going to the gym. I thought once you'd stopped the gym, perhaps it might have gone back, you know, this might have all just stopped. I thought it was just a phase. And trouble is, you're just trying to keep her happy because at the end of the day, that's what she wanted to do, and I was frightened.
They were scared of me.
Why?
They were scared of me.
Not scared in a way, but I was frightened that she might turn around and go, well, if you don't do this for me, then I'm just going to leave and whatever.
Oh, I'm going to harm myself or do something.
Silly.
You sound very confident saying they were scared of you, based on...
Yeah, I know they were scared. They were scared to say no.
Why?
Because they know that if I didn't get what I wanted, then I would just lose my temper. I knew how to push their buttons.
That gave you a lot of power, I suppose.
Doesn't matter how much we argue, you can't go through life going to me, bye, I've blocked you, I've done this, I've done that. But then again, that's her
personal... Yeah, but I just feel like you're not proud of me when I do gain weight. You never go, oh, well done.
I do, babe.
Yeah, but then when I'm going down in weight, you just assume it's always me, like it's always my fault. Yeah, it's my fault, but I've tried.
No, but
you need to say, well done, you've tried. You're not,
yeah.
You can't go, oh, well, you've not eaten enough. You're not there to support me, really. So that's what their problem is now at the unit, that you're not supporting me enough in terms of meals.
Whilst on home leave, Rosie was expected to stick to the hospital's meal plan to ensure she continued to gain weight.
Rosie takes a photo of a milky-looking drink before dunking a biscuit bar into it.
The sense I get is it's quite easy to say the wrong thing.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah. Every day it's, you're treading on eggshells.
And then you tiptoe around, and then she's aware of that, and that makes it worse.
Yeah.
She feels infantilised. It's like you're being too careful.
Yep, yep. Every single time you open your mouth, you just don't know what reaction you're going to get from her. Nice.
Rosie takes a sip of her drink, and her dad asks, what's the mixture, Rose?
The mixture, Rose?
Ignoring him, she takes a small bite of the biscuit bar.
I still look at her and I still don't think she's right.
In what way?
She's still looking at her phone, plates of food.
What do you mean looking at her phone?
She seems to get the phone and just all different meals. She just sits there looking at them, scrolling through them all the time. We don't say anything as we walk past her, but we can see what she's doing, like a habit.
How do you feel having just had a snack? Do you feel all right?
Yeah.
You seem more relaxed suddenly.
Yeah.
Right now. What's that about?
Because I think I know I've had it, and I've had it at the right time, and everything like that.
Were you getting tense before because of the snack?
I worry mainly for my measurements, that it's the right and like it's enough.
Are you worried about having too much or too little?
Too little.
Given that basically the idea is for you to put weight on,
mm-hmm.
you could have extra and certainly wouldn't get you into trouble, they'd probably mm-hmm. be pleased, but there's something in you that's stopping that.
Yeah.
Rosie's anorexia had afflicted the entire family. Even with Rosie seemingly doing well in recovery, the illness and its demands were still a daily struggle for all of them.
A sign reads, "Welcome to Vincent Square Inpatient Service."
One of the most striking features of anorexia is the difficulty many patients have in seeing themselves as ill.
I feel that people are judging me by my body and looking at me and thinking, oh, what is she doing here? She's too fat to be here. What the hell is she doing here?
Many of those in inpatient treatment are there against their will. Among them was Ifsana.
Hiya. Hi, Rosie. How are you? Nice to see you. Hi, Ifsana.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Right. You've done my bloods before. You usually get it in one. You're really good at it.
Well, now you're going to give it bad luck, though.
No pressure.
Right, it's good.
No, good. She's really good at taking blood.
An assistant in an operating theatre, Ifsana had been brought into Phoenix Wing 2 weeks earlier after being sectioned. It was her third round of residential treatment.
When did people start noticing that you had an issue around food?
I've had it probably about 5 years. I was at a much, much lower weight. My ECG, it kind of basically looked similar to someone basically had a heart attack.
Blood's taken from her arm.
It sounded like you nearly died.
Yeah, even now when they say that, part of me is a bit like, oh, you guys are just being melodramatic. But don't want to dwell on it too much because they're going to obviously stick to their opinion. I'm going to stick to mine. We're not going to move anyway.
You wanted to leave?
Yes.
Even when you were in hospital nearly dying? Does that seem odd to you?
I guess because I couldn't physically feel it.
Could you see it in the mirror?
No.
You thought you looked fine?
Yeah.
Do you accept that you have anorexia?
I guess. Obviously, if I had to go into an inpatient hospital for 9 months in Cambridge and then come out and then go back into hospital, then there was obviously a reason for it.
You were sectioned to come here. If you hadn't been, would you be here?
She shakes her head.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Gucci.
Wish me luck, Gucci.
Waiting outside a door.
How old are you?
I like when people guess. Well, sometimes I do.
Louis studies her carefully.
Don't think so hard.
You're 23.
How the hell do you know? You probably saw my notes beforehand.
No. Are you 20?
I'll be 24 in July. God, I feel old.
Sorry to keep you waiting for such lunch.
I was joining Ifsana for her fortnightly review. She had requested leave from the ward.
So I was hoping this weekend either get Saturday and Sunday 1 to 3 on both days or on one day 1 to 5.
So in terms of the leave then, I think what you need to do is go out in the wheelchair.
Oh no, we're not going back to that. No.
I think it's not, just because of the fact that we want to minimise the activity level and because of the low blood pressure, we're going
to
be looking
at... But that's what I'm saying, to do my blood pressure beforehand. OK, if it's low, then I'll go out in the wheelchair. I don't want to be told, you're going out in the wheelchair, because if it isn't, low, then I just kind of feel like...
Is it to minimise activity and therefore yes. not too many calories are getting burned?
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
It's not that you think if someone necessarily is going to keel over.
No, no, it's... Well, it's partly because of the low blood pressure, but I think we're sort of... That's getting better. But partly it is because this is just activity levels. So what we want to do is we want to limit that as much as possible so that...
Yeah, but yesterday I went for my leave and I went without the weird tree and my weight still went up. So I think... And I've been here before, so I think there should be a level of trust.
What we could also do is have a look at sort of how the blood pressure goes sort of today, tomorrow and Wednesday in terms of how things are looking.
Okay, fine. And we'll do that as well.
Afterwards, Louis and Ifsana moved to a lounge with comfy seating.
Ifsana had also been attempting to burn calories by standing.
Would you like to take a seat?
Not really.
They did say you should sit down more.
Yeah, they say a lot of things.
You don't want to sit down?
No.
Do you want to try it?
I can't sit down.
Let's see what happens.
Nothing's going to happen.
Just
I sat
it.
Down at snack.
Do it now and see how it feels.
No.
Just for a second. Here. Well, and stay sitting down.
You said a second.
No. Now for 10 seconds. How does that feel now?
Well, because I know short term it doesn't really feel like anything. It just kind of feels like an inconvenience, to be honest. What are you doing? You look uncomfortable.
I'm just trying to... Now sit down again?
No. I'm not an animal or a... I have to jump through their hoops. I'm not going to jump through yours as well.
A folded wheelchair by a radiator. Then a list of names in a before column on a whiteboard, below the heading, Medication.
I have the impression she's not really sure whether she really has the illness.
I mean, that's not sort of uncommon with a lot of our patients in that they, on some level, they can see that they're unwell, but on other levels, it's quite difficult for them to...
Or even if maybe she accepts she's got the illness, but perhaps she'd just... like to have the illness.
We'd always encourage people to go for recovery. But if it's too difficult, what we'd say is, right, okay, let's go somewhere in between. You don't give up the eating disorder because you need it for whatever reason. It's a way of managing something. And so we help you just manage things in the community so you can actually have sort of some quality of life.
So with Ifsana, strictly speaking, you're not aiming for a full recovery?
No. That's because Ifsana doesn't want that at the moment.
If you did nothing at all, if there was no treatment whatsoever, what would happen?
I think there would be a very high risk of death, essentially.
I began to settle into the routine of life in the clinics.
Yeah, we've got cottage pie or we've got vegetarian cottage pie.
I'll try the veg, a vegetarian one, yeah.
It was baffling to find people seemingly so insightful and full of promise who were, at the same time, in the grip of something so irrational.
How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Wish it weren't as hot, but there you go.
Making it all the more strange was the way patients valued and held on to symptoms that could end up killing them, while recovery was nearly always viewed with ambivalence and fear.
I've never cooked in my life.
You're cooking right now.
Despite the support of clinical staff and families, it was hard to see how patients would ever break the cycle.
Once I leave hospital, give me long enough and eventually things will start going backwards.
At Phoenix Wing, change was in the air. Rosie had let me know she would be making an announcement in her fortnightly review.
Hello. Hello.
Buongiorno. How's it going?
Very well, yourself.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you do.
Light hug. Very light, distant. There we go.
There you go. I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Okay. Been waiting for this all day, so yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Do you like your ward rounds?
When I get a good outcome, yeah. If I don't, then you'll see.
Do you know what they're going to say?
Not really. I'm a bit anxious.
You've submitted in writing.
Yeah.
A rough sense of what's on your agenda.
Yeah. So I'm just worried about the outcome. I hope it's all positive.
What's
really
on
do.
Your agenda?
I'd be telling, wouldn't it? You'd have to wait and see.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
I love surprises.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Right, so, so your ward round. So let's go through the points.
What I wanted to discuss with you is immediate discharge into a well-equipped environment and a supportive family and work with the outpatient services and also continue my family therapy as I find it very proactive and helpful. Sorry.
Rosie becomes emotional.
I do worry about immediate discharge, if I'm completely honest mm-hmm. with you. You are informal. Yeah. I mean, this is, I would say if we discharge you today, it's against medical advice.
Yeah.
Rosie had decided she was done with inpatient treatment. But the clinical staff were concerned that as someone still relatively new to the illness, she was more unwell than she realised.
You've just decided you've had enough, haven't you?
I have, I just don't belong here anymore.
Maybe you don't think you really have an eating disorder.
I feel like I've overcome it. So, yeah.
That could be the anorexia telling you that.
I think at this stage, it isn't, it's me.
A deserted hospital corridor at night, then a sunny new day.
The following morning, it emerged that staff had decided not to grant Rosie's discharge, but instead give her an extended leave.
What's the matter? What?
They're not discharging me.
Why?
Because I gained weight over the weekend.
Yeah.
But because it wasn't an overnight, they can't discharge me. I can't do that. I want to go home.
Oh, no.
Rosie's mum hugs her tearful daughter.
Come on.
Rosie tells her, I've done it for long enough now.
It did take us by surprise yesterday that Rosie wished to self-discharge. So what I have done is I've gone back to the notes and just to kind of follow her, kind of how she coped with the leave. And since May, it felt that the home leave, she's consistently lost weight. Based on what I've seen here, I don't feel that you're ready for discharge.
I couldn't help but empathise with Rosie, denied her freedom, but also with the clinical team, put in the position of making decisions in the interests of patients, but against their will.
Can I check that the advice that we've given, this medical recommendation, is something that you're in agreement with at the moment?
I feel like I have no choice. Mm-hmm.
To Louis.
It looks from the beginning of May that she has been consistently losing the weight. And the weight that she has managed
at home.
At home, yeah. It is very apparent that, you know, overnight leave is a problem and it doesn't feel that she has mastered it. She has managed the shorter periods of leave, but not the longer one. These big decisions, we have to think about them very, very carefully. And I feel there will be sufficient ground to say that if she did insist to leave, it can be that we will get a second opinion from a mental health act. So I haven't said that because Rosie did agree.
You mean a section?
Yeah.
So basically, if she resisted and said, I don't care what you think, I'm still going home, you would seriously consider getting a section?
Yeah.
Initiating the process?
Yeah.
Big decision.
I suspect whether there's a fear of continuing recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's a realisation that it's not as easy as I thought it would be.
Rosie's apparent confidence that she was well again spoke to what may be anorexia's most insidious characteristic, how it hijacks patients' thinking, tricking them into allowing it control of their lives and their decisions, and making recovery elusive.
Streets of period houses set amongst suburban greenery.
At Vincent Square, I discovered Jess was in difficulties.
How's it going?
It's alright, a bit stressful, but...
Yeah. I think you're going to do some medical stuff with Aki and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Despite the 12 hours a day of being fed and monitored as a day patient on the unit, she was still losing weight. It had been decided she needed to come back into full-time care.
How are you feeling today?
Yeah, quite stressed and anxious. I'm just feeling a bit despondent that I'm doing this again.
Feels like maybe you're not making progress.
I just feel a bit embarrassed, like I've failed, really.
She's somebody who has been ill for an incredibly long time. She's had lots of admissions to hospital, and every time she leaves hospital, she loses weight really fast and really dramatically. Recovery takes a long time. People often have to go round and round more than once through loops of, restoring weight, having a go, losing, coming back round again, before something works that helps them move on.
Right, Jess, how do you feel about doing a squat for me? Do you think you can do that?
Yeah.
Come back up. Okay, well done.
This past week, as I understand it, you've lost more weight. Do you think that's because you knew you were coming back in some way?
You kind of start thinking there's no point in fighting because you know that you're going to be, like, forced to eat loads and loads of really scary foods and stuff, and it's just like, why put myself through the pain of forcing myself to eat when I know what's coming?
There's a safety net, almost like someone going into alcohol rehab in the week leading up, they're going to get as drunk as they can.
Yeah,
as a last hurrah, almost.
It takes a hell of a lot more strength to eat and recover from this illness than it does for me anyway to indulge in it.
Grey clouds in a darkening sky.
This would be Jess's 8th stay as an inpatient. I'm really sorry that it's been such a struggle.
I just feel like I need a break. Just some time out to clear my head. I'll never get it.
Sounds like you're struggling a bit.
She nods and rubs her forehead.
What's in your head?
It's just so hard having to eat and deal with the feelings that brings up and not have my usual ways of coping.
Do you feel you are committed to recovery?
Kind of ebbs and flows, like, at times. I know I hate this illness, I hate my life at the moment. I just don't really believe that I can recover.
Amy, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm so sorry that you're going through this.
Thank
you. Jess hangs her head miserably.
Jess has had this disorder for a long time now.
Yeah.
How realistic is recovery?
Part of what's difficult for Jess, part of the snag that pulls her back, is the world's now quite a scary place. And you can kind of relate to that. You think if you've lived a lot of your life in and out of hospital, people telling you what to do all the time, your illness telling you what to do all the time, she's missed out on a lot of the normal development opportunities through which you kind of learn to feel more confident in yourself and how you manage the world. I don't think she's somebody who she's going to come into hospital and this episode of admission is going to be, that's it, boom, she suddenly is recovered and everything's okay. I do think that this admission can contribute to her journey of getting to a place from which she can recover.
A series of signs. Welcome to St. Anne's Hospital. Eating disorder inpatients, then mental health wards, under which Louis heads through an open door. Ifsana using a laptop.
It had been 4 weeks since I'd last seen Ifsana. In spite of the fact she was still sectioned, she seemed to be more engaged with her treatment.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
Okay, how are you? Been busy?
Bit.
How's the weather? Have you had a haircut?
Yeah.
I noticed things.
Have you had a haircut?
No, but I changed it because it's, like, really hot, so it is my neck a bit cooler.
What do you think of the banana drink?
It's just a banana drink. What do you think of it?
It's neither hot nor cold.
Don't tell that to the staff.
Was it supposed to be?
But it's hot.
Is it supposed to be hot?
What did you ask for it hot?
I didn't really. I just said, give me what Ipsana's having.
Well, then it's supposed to be hot.
I suppose I should just be grateful to have anything.
He looks to the side and gives a thumbs up.
I was curious to know if Ipsana was now more on board with the idea of being well. How do you feel you're doing?
Well, I definitely think things are moving forward.
In what way?
Well, obviously physically, my weight is obviously going up. But
is it? I mean, you say obviously. I mean, I'm no expert, but and without prying in any way, but so it is. You're sort of getting weighed regularly, and they tell you it's going up. Is that right?
But they don't exactly tell you. I kind of can see from the scales.
They show you the numbers.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about the numbers going up?
Well, I guess I'm always in two minds. I guess the eating disorder part of me is obviously not thrilled, but the other side of me knows that it has to, and I don't really have a choice.
If Zana had told me she'd been bullied as a child and that a few years earlier she had refused an arranged marriage, I wondered if she felt either experience had played a role in her illness or whether the causes were more obscure.
Where do you think it comes from?
I think it's a mixture of things. I don't think there's one definite sort of pinpoint.
Are you all right? I haven't made you upset, have I?
No, it's fine.
Have you got the sniffles?
Yeah, a bit.
You're thinking about what?
Everything changes, everything. I usually don't like reflecting on things, especially with this whole process. It's kind of like, because it just obviously makes me upset and I can't control it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She shields her face from Louis.
I'm really sorry.
Then wipes her teary eyes with the back of her hand.
You're choosing to be here, and I think you staying here is a kind of victory. I mean, I know you've got all different thoughts in your head pulling you in different directions, but looked at in the healthy way, you're doing really well. But the disorder's pulling you back, isn't it? But there's a part of you telling you that you don't really want recovery, and telling you that it feels wrong.
Yeah.
One of the paradoxes of physical recovery from anorexia is that it can lead patients to feel worse. No longer numb, they have to face emotions they had suppressed by starvation. Often this leads to relapse.
Ipsana sitting with an earphone in.
The average recovery time from anorexia is 7 years.
Hello. It's hot out there, isn't it? Nice to see you. How's it going?
Okay. And you?
Good.
In the 40 years Janet had been ill, she had never managed full recovery.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hoping for some insight into why she'd found it so hard, I was joining her for a therapy session, which started with a weigh-in.
Okay.
I've done well, haven't I?
You've done very well.
So you put a little bit on?
Yeah, I'm not happy, so now I feel that I have to starve myself. Not happy. I don't know why I've put on.
But it's
loads, haven't I?
Not loads, Janet. But I think this is very reflective, isn't it, of the two parts of you that we kind of identify. The part of you that wants this to get better and the part of you that's really anxious about that.
From your experience in this field, do you have any sense of where this problem is coming from?
And I think for Janet, this started a long, long time ago, at a time where Maybe Janet felt she needed some control over something. I mean, Janet, would you agree with that?
100%.
Control? Yeah. Why were you looking for control?
Because I couldn't control anything else. And
in your life? Why not?
Yeah, in my religion, I'm Jewish, and in my religion in those days, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you had to get married young, have children, and do well. I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to grow up. I wanted to be a child. I was terrified of going to work, terrified of leaving home. It all scared me so much. The anorexia was my best friend because I didn't have to do anything because I was sick all the time. It was my own little world that I could hide inside.
I think there's probably a lot in there, too.
It's come from my gut. None of all this psychological stuff. You just do not want to grow up. You're just too scared. Mm. You can't cope. End of.
Mm. Maybe the fact that I want to tell you to eat...
You're frustrated.
I feel like maybe that's another way. Maybe that in some level...
You're frustrated.
Is that how you want me to respond, maybe? Like that, so that I'm like a parent to you?
He's good, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Sometimes we do find that with anorexia, there is something that keeps people stuck in it where they do elicit lots of care from others. You know, maybe that's making up for something that they haven't quite had.
I was struck by Janet's observation about not growing up.
A small photo album.
This is you?
Yeah.
It may be part of the seduction of anorexia that it keeps life at arm's length.
That was my ex-musician, Paul.
He looks groovy.
Engaged.
What, and it didn't work out?
No.
Have you been married?
No, engaged twice.
And what happened?
I broke it off.
Why?
Eating with them became
an
issue.
You?
Yeah.
Eating became an issue in the relationship?
Yeah.
In what way?
Because they said I wasn't eating enough and I didn't want to eat more. And I had to sit down every evening because we lived together for a meal and I wasn't eating enough and it used to start arguments. And I felt they were putting too much pressure on me. I didn't like it. I'd rather not have them and not eat.
For those who feel a lack of control in their lives, anorexia offers the illusion of ultimate control at the price of years of missed opportunities.
A plane in the sky and traffic passing a church.
I was back in East London with an appointment to see Rosie, now living at home while being treated as an outpatient. Of the people I'd met, she was the one who had seemed most confident of recovery. I wondered if things were still looking up.
Rosie opens the door to him.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. I was going to say you look great, and then I was like, hang on, I don't even know if I'm supposed to say that.
Different.
You know, what is it therapeutically advisable to say? You look how you look. That sounds weird.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean.
Yes.
Come in.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm well.
Oh, come in. Nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Cheers. You've been discharged now.
Yeah, officially. Obviously, they gave me the 2-week trial. I'd done the first week and my weight had stayed the same, but that was a positive. Then I'd done another week at home and I had gained 0.7. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Some of the people I speak to who have eating disorders, mm-hmm. they're much more in two minds about putting on weight or looking more healthy.
Yeah. I know I need to do this. I know I need to put on the weight because otherwise I really do not want to go back there. I do not want to step back on that ward. And I'm motivated, you know. I know where I've been before and I know I can do it, but it's just, you know, you are always in two minds.
If I've taken away anything from all of this, it's that the healthy and the unhealthy impulses get intertwined to such an extent that it's sometimes hard to separate mm-hmm. the two.
Yeah.
Rosie cutting up broccoli in the kitchen, then setting the timer on a microwave.
Rosie's future was hard to predict. I could only hope that she would be among that group of patients who make a full recovery and return to the normal life she'd known only a year before.
She's made herself a meal of sliced ham with broccoli and new potatoes. Rosie sits down at the kitchen table to eat it.
Are you still going to watch me eat?
Is that going to make you uncomfortable?
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Really?
Yeah.
You want me to leave?
Sorry.
Louis does as she asks and steps out of the back door to join her parents in the garden.
She doesn't want us there when she's having her tea. It's still stressful for her.
Very stressful indeed. Very, very, very stressful.
She's still battling.
Yeah. In her mind, she is, yeah.
Would you agree, Heather?
You know, like she goes, I can't do this no more. I can't. I said, deep breath, count to 10, think of something nice, and that feeling will go. And that's what she does. She gets upset sometimes because she thinks she's failing again.
You think there's a little voice in her still saying, don't put on any more,
no,
you've done enough?
She knows.
That voice is still there, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, it's got a little bit.
You don't have it that to that extent for all those months and then have it go like that.
No, that's right. I think it's still...
Oh, yeah.
It's still there. It's still there.
It's lurking.
Yeah.
But she'll get there. I can see a big, huge difference.
And you think she's serious?
Oh, yeah.
About doing it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
She said to me, I never, ever want to go back. Yeah. Never.
Rosie opens the back door.
Hello.
Hello. I keep forgetting you've had your hair done.
We were talking about you.
I thought my ears were burning. Good, I hope.
All good.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's not always good, so I don't know why you're pretending.
No, it was. It was all good.
A welcome sign, a cityscape, and a plane flying across the sky. Hand-drawn and coloured words read, peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with it.
Do you think that it's part of the human condition in some way? I mean, it's always been with us and will always be with us.
Yeah, I think both. I think it's always been with us, it will always be with us, and there are things about our culture currently that increase the prevalence. So the genetic vulnerability we're born with, you know, interacts with the experiences that we have as children and growing up, and those are experiences of family, experience of peer groups, and the social world that we live in. But it's the interaction between all of these factors, for some will trigger the illness.
Anorexia is an illness associated with appearances. But in my time speaking to people with the disorder, I'd been struck by how much it had to do with the deepest feelings of powerlessness and lack of self-worth.
It was Zana looking down to the side.
It intertwines itself with positive qualities like conscientiousness and self-discipline and makes them poisonous, demanding from those who have it a daily heroism in facing down an illness often indistinguishable from their own selves.
Sad reflection on the faces of Rosie, Ifsana, and Jess.